Hey everybody, this is Damian G from the Big Gold Belt Podcast. And if you're located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area like I am, and you have an old school gaming arcade itch you want to scratch, I suggest you go to Free Play Arcade that has three locations throughout the DFW area in Arlington, Richardson, and Fort Worth respectively. It's got all your classic arcade faves from Pac-Man to Pinball to Street Fighter 2. It is your one-stop shop for all your arcade needs. Add to that a full-fledged bar with multiple beers on tap, along with impeccable and strict cleaning and social distancing protocols. It's been rated 5 stars by the Dallas Morning News for 4 years running. That is Free Play Arcade. You can find us at freeplayinc.com/savethearcade, where if you want to contribute and you can't make it out to the arcade, you can purchase gift cards, swag, t-shirts, stickers, coasters, and the like. That is freeplayinc.com/savethearcade, and I hope to see you there. So fair warning, folks, this is going to be a really weird version of the Damian G Show. It's not going to have anything to do with psychology. It's not going to have anything to do with human interest. It's not going to have anything to do with sports or even wrestling. So if you're looking for any of those topics, like we discuss on Damian's Advocate, you might want to walk away now, because I have been challenged by some of my best friends to talk about things that I really love and that really have sparked anything in me over the last couple of years. And the funny thing is that when you grow as a person, your interests change, but you still hold on to certain things, or you still gravitate to certain things, because for some odd reason, they resonate with you, or they are a part of your experience, your life experience. So here's where we get weird. As I said, not human service, not about wrestling, not about coaching, not even about sports. This is about gaming. This is about video games, y'all. And y'all haven't really heard me talk about video games a lot, if ever, on my streams. And the reason for that is for a long time, the video game part of my life had taken a 99% backseat to the real world, as I dubbed it. But because of my affiliation with Free Play Arcade, because of my affiliation with Wrestling Wednesdays, as well as the Nerd Side of the Ring podcast I do on their behalf, I have gotten more in touch with the old gamer side of Damian, which is funny, because I still don't own a home console since I moved to Texas. But you visit an arcade enough, you're gonna get hooked again. And what has me hooked actually has, it's almost inconsequential. It's the fact that bonding over gaming with people is a thing that I'm experiencing that I didn't know until I was exposed to these people at Free Play. And they have encouraged me to talk more about video games, even though I don't play religiously anymore because I just have things to do. I do enjoy playing video games when I'm at Free Play, but it made me reminisce, especially after this Thanksgiving season. It made me reminisce about all the times that gaming was an integral part of my life. And it's weird because my first job, for those who have known me for so long, it was at Funko Land, which would go on to become GameStop. That was my first real job where I had real responsibilities. You know, I worked my way up in that organization. I went from being a seasonal employee all the way up to, you know, managerial level, you know, opening and closing the store, counting the money and all that good stuff, like the behind the scenes stuff, as well as training new recruits. So that's where it starts in my professionalism, being tied to video games. But the funny part is that as video games have changed, I still think about all the good times I have spent with video games. All the good stories I have been immersed in when it came to video games. My love of Japanese culture actually started because of watching anime and playing import video games when I was younger. And for those that don't know, yes, I am part Japanese. That actually is a truth, thanks to my nice genetic makeup and 23andMe for showing me that I do have Japanese heritage on my biological father's side. But aside from that, just I have been able to get in touch with the stuff that I enjoyed as a kid. So when I go to Free Play, for instance, let me paint the picture for y'all. Y'all have heard me reference it. I reference it on Big Gold Belt. I reference Free Play in my other streams with Sarah. It is a retro video game arcade. So when I say retro, I'm talking about the stuff I grew up with. You know, the Pac-Mans, the King of Fighters, the Neo Geo machines, because that's one of the things I remember from childhood, is the Neo Geo machine that had like 5 games in it. And everybody lined up because we couldn't afford a Neo Geo growing up. So it's pretty funny now that I'm older, you can either get these emulated or you can go to a video game arcade such as Free Play, and it's in the name and the title, where you pay one price and you play as much as you want. But what makes me laugh and smile is that there are so many games that I grew up with, even on home consoles, that I still like. So I don't want this to be one of those top 10 lists, and it may turn into that. I don't want it to be a regimented top 10 list. I'm just going to say random games that mean a lot to me, and I'm going to tell you why they mean a lot to me throughout my gaming history. So we're going to go all the way back. We're going to go all the way back to the Super Nintendo. Oh, no, shoot, not the Super Nintendo. All the way back before that, sorry, y'all, to the Atari 2600, which was the first gaming console my father ever purchased for me. And at the time, I think we were in the shelter at this point, we were living in a homeless shelter, but my father still wanted me to have a Christmas present, so he bought me an Atari 2600, even though long before that I kept whining about, hey, can you get me a Nintendo, when he made these promises, and I used to write them in a journal, and at the time I felt really disappointed that he got me an Atari, but that became the first kind of, not kind of, it became my babysitter, let's be honest here. But at the same token, I have so many fond memories of playing random Atari games while my dad would watch and do commentary, because he was so proud to give this to me and I was so proud to play it. One game in particular that everybody and their mama hates, and it almost killed the video game industry, that I secretly enjoyed as a kid, was E.T. Now, if you don't know, E.T. the video game for Atari damn near killed the video game industry back in the 80s, because it was rushed to production, it was rushed to meet the holiday season, and for all intents and purposes, and I've talked about this on a show with Dio about a year ago, we talked about this. I loved it. I loved playing E.T. I love the teleportation sounds. There's a weird teleportation noise in the game that has stuck with me all these years. I'll watch YouTube playthroughs of it just to relive some childhood memories. And then another one for Nintendo. Even though I never physically owned a Nintendo until I worked for Funko Land, because they sold mostly Nintendo, Genesis, Super Nintendo, and the like when I worked there. Another game is called Yar's Revenge, and this game is a shooter. You're basically trying to, it's like Space Invaders, where you're trying to destroy this fleet or this big boss, and you have to kill the brain of this big boss. Every board's the same board. There's no difference. It's just the difficulty spikes. There's no differences. And again, it's one of those things where it was simple gameplay, and I just loved beating the crap out of this game, and I felt so accomplished. It's weird when we feel accomplishments for video games, and I've had the psychological conversation with people about getting that, you know, that victory in a hard video game and feeling as if you just won the World Series. You know, people make fun of it, whatever, what have you. But for me, every time I beat Yar's Revenge, it was one of those fist-pumping experiences. And then there was Pitfall, the original Pitfall. Pitfall Harry, where it reminded me of when you... It's basically, if you haven't played Pitfall, it's a running, scrolling run game, I guess. A Prince of Persia type game, if you want to... I don't know if it's a platformer. I don't think I would classify it as a platformer. But the main crux of this game was you just had to get the gold, and Pitfall Harry was like an Indiana Jones type, and he was just trying to get the gold. But the best part of that game, especially when I was a kid, was when you jump on the vine and it makes the Tarzan noises. With the every time you jump on the rope or on the vine over the crocodiles. And even now thinking about it, I'm laughing because I would do that incessantly to the point where my mom and dad would be so annoyed with me after a while. Would you just win the game and stop playing that damn sound? But just hearing a Tarzan-specific battle cry in a video game just cracked me up, man. It just really made me happy. And then, you know, the Game Boy was another one, which I owe my mom a debt of gratitude for getting me my first Game Boy. We were still in the shelter, and my mom wanted me to have a birthday present. I believe it was my birthday. And she got me a Game Boy, the Game Boy Classic, the brick with the four batteries. And I'll never forget, the first, obviously Tetris, cool. Tetris was a part of it. I'm not a big Tetris guy, but I did understand. And a quick story about Tetris. When I was in grade school, so I didn't know I was going to see the school counselor twice a week at the time. Apparently, I was going to see the school counselor. In retrospect, I know this now. But we would do what is now known as play therapy, where she would bring her Game Boy and I would bring my Game Boy, and we would just talk while playing Tetris and just going to war with each other. So that's a weird Tetris bonding experience, where unbeknownst to me, I was enrolled in weekly counseling at the school, but using Tetris as a way for me to open up and converse. But my mom bought me that, and she bought me The Amazing Spider-Man. Now, if a lot of you who know me know, I am a big Spider-Man fan. 90% of my Funko Pops are either Spider-Man or Optimus Prime. Those are my two quote-unquote heroes growing up, if you want to talk about heroes and comics and cartoons. So she bought me The Amazing Spider-Man, and they would have these cutscenes. I would literally voice all the characters. I would pretend to talk like Spider-Man during the cutscenes because they would be communicating with the villains over the radio. And you know, the Green Goblin would talk trash. Spider-Man would talk trash back. Then he talked to the Scorpion. And then the last one is Venom, which everybody who knows me really knows how much I love Venom. The Eddie Brock rendition of Venom. And I played the shit out of the game. It was a fucking hard game, and pardon my French, but it was such a difficult game that I still remember playing it fondly. So the Game Boy itself, just way ahead of its time. You know, we talk about all the time, you know, my gamer friends, how the Game Boy, it has its place in history. It has its place in all of history, where it was the first handheld, not to count those Tiger Electronic games. I hope y'all remember those Tiger Electronics games or the Game & Watches. But the Game Boy, that's the big system for me when I was a kid. And I played that all the way till even when I had a Genesis. I never owned a Super Nintendo. I never owned a Nintendo. I was a Sega loyalist after the Game Boy. And there was plenty of games I played on the Game Boy too. NFL football, I remember one. I would borrow from my friend all the time. It was called Final Fantasy Adventure, which, if you know the history, isn't really a Final Fantasy game. I think it's a Legend of Gaia series game, but it was an action RPG, and I know I'm getting super in-depth here, guys, but it was an action RPG. You could change your weapons. It's like a dungeon crawler. Think of it as if you're playing The Legend of Zelda. I've never been a Legend of Zelda guy, by the way. Never. Never in a million years have I been a Legend of Zelda guy. But then I moved on to the Genesis, and I remember so many fond memories of the Genesis, not even Sonic the Hedgehog, because if you bought the Sega when we were younger, Sonic 1 had not eligible for resale or do not resell sticker across it to make it seem as if it wasn't an original copy or separate copy. It was part of a bundled package. I don't really know why they did that. I'm probably going to look it up at some point, but I remember playing the crap out of Sonic 1, and then I lost interest. And then parents bought me Spider-Man. And that was it for a while. Spider-Man for the original Genesis was a great game for what it was. I loved it. I spent so many hours playing it. I can wax on about the Genesis or the Mega Drive and all the games I loved that I owned. Joe Montana Football, 93 and 94, World Series Baseball, Street Fighter Championship Edition. I remember I got it for a birthday and I literally stayed home the whole day. My parents let me play hooky from school at 12 or 11 to play that game all day. And it was so cool. And yes, at this time we weren't homeless anymore. We stopped being homeless back in 92 was when we finally had our own place again after bouncing from homeless shelter to homeless shelter. I think I was in 7th grade or 6th grade when that happened. So don't worry, kids. Like, Damien was home in his apartment and living a normal Damienistic life. But just playing the Genesis, playing all those games, Streets of Rage 1 and 2, Phantasy Star 4, and then that's where my love of just RPGs or role-playing games kind of started, because Phantasy Star 4 was my first introduction to turn-based role-playing games. So that's one of the big ones for me. Then there was Shining Force 2. Again, I could wax poetically about the Genesis. Mutant League Football is one of my all-time favorites. If you played the original Madden series on the Genesis or the Mega Drive, it's basically Madden Football with skeletons, aliens, mutants, and the like. The first X-Men game was good too when I was playing that as a kid. I digress. Just the Genesis is probably my favorite system of all time, just because it brings me so many memories. And then we transitioned to, I remember my dad bought me a Game Gear, and I was such an ungrateful little shit that my dad bought me a Game Gear for Christmas because I opened it early. And then we realized, holy shit, this takes like 6 batteries and drains out in 20 minutes. So I tell people all the time, if you're gonna get a Game Gear, you better get a rechargeable battery pack, even though now that people are modding these kinds of games, the Game Gear was good for what it was because it was full color. It was the equivalent of playing an 8-bit Genesis or playing the Mega Drive, the original Mega Drive, or the Sega Master System, I should say. And it was fun because it was handheld. And then it had its own version of Tetris, columns. Good job, Sega. Way to differentiate. It's not Tetris. This is columns. It's just in color. And it has gems. But it's not Tetris. Okay, sure, why not? We'll go with that. But also one of my other favorite Genesis games of all time, Evander Holyfield Boxing. I know people love Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I like Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. But for me, a boxing simulator before the Fight Night series? Yeah, Evander Holyfield Boxing for the Sega Genesis. You put in the code for your fighter called The Beast, and you're literally just going to cakewalk to the heavyweight championship. But it was a really good boxing simulator. I could play that for hours on end. So for me, that was another one of my top games. And then, you know, I kind of took a small break from video games because, you know, puberty and then dating and trying to get girls and studying. All that took a small break. And then I remember this infamous day. And for those who have tuned out and come back, hey man, this is the Damon G Show, anchor.fm, Spotify, all that good stuff. You can find the show. But we're talking gaming. I'm talking about my history with video games in general, because I have been challenged by some of my friends who work in the arcade industry, specifically Free Play Arcade, to talk about my connection to gaming. And then I made the infamous decision. I didn't get the 32X. I didn't get the Sega CD, even though I was a Sega loyalist, but money was tight back then with my family. What I wound up getting, it was a pick for my birthday. Again, my birthday. I think it was 1996. Do you want the Saturn or do you want the PlayStation? Because I am a Sega loyalist, I have died for Sega, figuratively speaking. I picked the Sega Saturn. And this would not be the first time I made a mistake in picking consoles. I promise you, this was not the first mistake I ever made, nor will it ever be the last. But I picked the Sega Saturn. I don't even remember half the games I played. Bug, Virtual. Yeah, no, I remember some. Bug, Virtual Fighter 2. I believe I had an NHL game, which also, if you go back to the Genesis, NHL PA 93, top tier hockey game. And I think I had one or two RPGs. I don't remember. I think one was called Albert Odyssey that had really, really good graphics. But I wound up using the Sega Saturn later in life to play import games when I was working in Funko Land and a couple of other video game stores I worked at. So I was playing import games on my Sega Saturn at that point. And I made the bad mistake because Sony PlayStation came out, and for my high school graduation, my father and brother chipped in and got me the Sony PlayStation 1, the PS1. Man, top games from PS1 that I can talk off the top of my head. Final Fantasy VII. That's it. That's the number one for me. That and Legend of Dragoon is number two. These are both role-playing games. I love those two games with a passion. I don't think I have the time or effort to play them all without cheat codes again, to invest that much time into something. But I love that game. And yes, I still had my Game Boy at this point. And I got a Game Boy Color. And you know your boy bought Pokemon, so just putting it out there too. There's going to be a Pokemon reference at some point. So here we are, playing PlayStation 1, playing the shit out of role-playing games. And I don't really remember any other games. I wasn't a Crash Bandicoot person. Like, platformers didn't really work with me. Platformers don't hold water with me for some odd reason. Just not interested. Normally it was fighting games and then role-playing games. So if we're talking PS1, Final Fantasy VII, Legend of Dragoon, Street Fighter Alpha 2 and 3 are the best 2D fighting games that I played on the PS1. Rival Schools is pretty good because, again, Japanese fighting games, hey, count me in. But those are the ones that really stick out for the PS1 era. Then I just started collecting random games, and then we moved on to the PS2. Look, if you look up Atlas Games, pretty much their whole role-playing game library under the Shin Megami Tensei, the Persona umbrella, so to speak, again, was never a Resident Evil guy, played nothing but RPGs. Go back and look at Shin Megami Tensei. As much as I love Final Fantasy, this one spoke to me because it dealt with adult themes. A little bit of the occult, I'll say that, but more about gods and monsters and lore, religious lore. Go back and I can play those games or at least watch playthroughs of Persona, not Persona 1 or 2. I played Persona 1 just for argument's sake or just for nostalgia's sake, but it started at P3. Persona 3, which is probably one of the best role-playing games I've ever played, because it's part RPG, part life simulator, where you have to balance your time. I know I'm getting really in-depth here. Plus, it has a catchy soundtrack. Shout out to all the video game composers out there. You guys rock, and you guys rock. Just, I got a whole bunch of video game music on my playlist. Fighting games, again, for the PS1, I'll take one step back. The King of Fighters series, SNK. I know it doesn't have the same oomph here in the States as Street Fighter did, but again, because I was interested in Fatal Fury and those types of fighting games, Samurai Showdown, anything by SNK in a fighting game sense, I was interested to play. But mostly the RPGs, man. That's why I started playing on PS2. The RPGs, then the NBA 2Ks, and then somewhere along the lines, I forget, I bought the Dreamcast, and again, it was a choice between the PS2 and the Dreamcast, and my stubborn ass worked for Funko Land, still bought a Dreamcast because I was all in on the Sega Dreamcast. I was all about the hype. I didn't learn my lesson with the Sega Saturn, and alas, here we were here at the Damon G Show playing the Sega Dreamcast, which, if you really think about it, was ahead of its time. Just my two cents. You know, playing fighting games there. I even bought Street Fighter Alpha 3 for the freaking Dreamcast. For the Dreamcast, even though I had it for the PS3. NBA 2K, NFL 2K. I'm remembering so many good games because when I worked at Funko Land, we got a discount. And, you know, lessons. You know, had I known then what I know now, I wouldn't have bought so many video games. I would have just bought video game stocks. But I had so many good memories playing the Dreamcast, and specifically the sports games and the fighting games, Soul Calibur. Sonic 1 was okay. Sonic Adventure 1. Those are the only ones that really stand out. I know there's more that I probably am not referencing, but I stuck mostly to the sports games because the RPGs left a lot to be desired. I'm still playing Pokemon every once in a while because, and I'll share a little story with y'all. When I worked at Funko Land, that's when Pokemon cards started really taking off and people were still playing Pokemon Red and Blue. And, you know, we would, if someone wanted to use an old Game Boy or buy an old Game Boy, they had the right to test it out first. So long story short, and I'm ashamed to admit this, but not really. I would play my Pokemon games against another person and just wax them, and feel a sense of pride, especially as a grown-ass adult at 19, but you know, older teenager. And just whooping a kid's ass at Pokemon who thought they were good. It's like, haha, kid, life lessons. That's what you get. I know, it sounds really stupid. It sounds really dumb and immature and infantile. But hey, I was 19, 20 at the time. What can you expect? And as we fast forward, you know, the Genesis, like I said, Genesis, Super Nintendo, I never had. Then we had the PS2, like I was saying. All the RPGs from that era, I tend to play. Again, the fighting games, I've tended to play. I don't do the platformers. That hasn't changed. And it didn't change on the PS3. It didn't change on the PS3. Because, again, Street Fighter 4 came out. I played that. I played a whole bunch of fighting games and role-playing games on the PS3. You're sensing a theme here, kids? But if I had to say PS3, what games really stand out to me? Honestly, just the Persona series. Anything that was released for PS3, the Persona series or the Shin Megami Tensei series, that's what I gravitated to. You know, the Final Fantasy games are fine, just not my bag of tricks, so to speak. And that's pretty much where it dies. I had a PS Vita. I got that as an impulse buy. I played it for like 6 months, whatever. I have a DS, Nintendo DS. I play that occasionally. One of my favorite, and I hope my friend GT Game Tracks can mod this one day, is my Neo Geo Pocket Color. Because if you recall earlier in this episode, I referenced the Neo Geo cabinets at the local arcade, but here I was getting this imported Neo Geo Pocket Color that essentially was a Pocket Genesis, almost. It was 16-bit from what I remember, but again, fighting games, role-playing games. You're getting the sense here, kid. You know, SNK versus Capcom is probably my go-to in both the card game. There was a trading card game in that. Yep, I'm a nerd. Shizumi. And the fighting game as well, which I enjoyed. But that's usually where I kind of stopped. I stopped after the PS3. As much as people, you know, rant and rave about Xbox, I owned one Xbox in my time. One. I got rid of it after about 6 months. It was another impulse buy after I got my first job out of college. Bought it. Sucked. Didn't really like it. The controls were too big. But I did play the hell out of, I think it was NFL 2K5, I believe. The game was called NFL 2K5. I believe Terrell Owens, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles, was on the cover. I played the hell out of that game. But I never got an Xbox after that. And my gaming stopped. It pretty much stopped the minute I moved, to be quite honest. I lost interest in video games. And a lot of that is because if you wanted to play a game, for instance, and it took too much time. But I could go on to YouTube and watch somebody play it or if there's cutscenes, I could literally watch the movie of this game with a little bit of gameplay and boss fights for what, 2 hours? As if I'm watching a movie? Instead of me investing 24, 25, 48 hours of my life in a video game. And I'm not sad about it. You know, a lot of people have asked me, hey, are you sad that you don't game anymore? Or are you sad that you've given some of that stuff up? My answer to them is no, I'm not sad about it. I just don't feel the want or have the want to be in front of my television playing video games for 4 hours a day, especially after a long day's work. Or I like to keep my options open to do other stuff. And it's not as much of a release as it used to be for me, or as an escape. I read a lot more books now. So I'm not really sad about it. I don't know if I'm ever going to buy another video game console, at least a home console. Maybe I'll get one of those modded Game Boy Advances that my friend GameTrax does. And if you're interested, let me know and I can put you in touch with him, because he does sell modded Game Boy Advances. They're pristine, they're on point. I know Sarah's won one in a raffle. I know a couple of people who have purchased directly from him. So if you want to do that, hit me up and I'll put you in contact with him to get that. But that's where my gaming stopped. And I'm grateful that I was able to share this experience with you all here on the Damon G Show. Sorry I don't play as much as I used to now that I go to the arcades. And mind you, I socially distance. I tend to play specifically the Neo Geo machine games. They have a Fatal Fury offshoot. They have King of Fighters, which I love, as I said earlier in this podcast episode. And they have this golf game called Neo Turf Masters. Oh, and before I log off, I did forget one thing. One of the best stories of my life, the height of my gamerness for me, my dedication, was when the Wii came out, the original Wii. And Jose, my friend and I, my friend and coworker at the time, we camped out at 4 a.m. outside of Nintendo World in Manhattan to get a Wii. And we did not think we were going to get one, but we showed up really early. I think he was the 7th person online. I was the 13th, 14th. And we both got it and we ran right to work. We took a cab together to get to work to make sure we were going to escape with our victory. And then when we got to work, we switched all the bags. We had these big book bags to make sure that nobody was going to think we had a Wii in the bag, just in case somebody tried to get frisky on the New York City subway. But that was one of my favorite dedications. You know, my father was up to go to work that early. I remember like it was yesterday. He looks at me. Goes, the hell you doing up? I said, I gotta go. It's like, to where? I gotta go buy a Wii. He goes, what the hell's a Wii? So I told him, it's like, you got up at 4 a.m. to go get a video game system. But if I ask you to go with me to work, because he works as a building superintendent, if I ask you to go to work with me at 6:30, you literally laugh in my face. I said, yep, that's about right. Dedication to the cause, baby. Dedication to the cause. But that's where it all stops. Now it's just playing arcade games for the sake of playing arcade games. If I download an emulator, it's so I could use cheat codes because I'm bored and I don't really feel like reading or watching a movie. I'll veg out once a month on a video game for, let's say, 2 hours. 3 hours tops on a Friday or Saturday night. And that's it. And the reason, again, why I wanted to do this quick episode or this episode was just to let you know that's something I still cherish. That's something, a memory I will still always appreciate, and the sacrifices that my parents made for me in that realm to provide me with as normal of a childhood as humanly possible. So I owe them that debt of gratitude. But also, video games have taken me to a lot of places. You know, it was my first job ever, and that spawned me working in the film industry, which was fun and random all in and of itself. And even now, being associated with a arcade and working with them and partnering with them has brought me friends and community and new opportunities for potential business. So even though I don't game as much as I used to, you know, because of video games, I've made, especially this year, I've made a lot of good contacts. Shout out to GT, shout out to Sarah, shout out to Michael Beltran and Delp. These are all people that Chris Delp, these are people I can say I respect and I enjoy their presence in my life, and I hope I can give them the same friendship and connectivity that they have provided me, and that's because of video games. But I think that's a good place for me to end this show of the Damon G Show. I know it was a little different bit of a topic. I know gaming isn't something you actually ever hear me talk about, but let me know in the comments, let me know in general if that's something you want me to talk about. Maybe I could talk more about gaming in general, old school, retro, classic gaming more specifically. And let me know if that's something you want, because maybe I'll start producing a little bit more gaming content as I was doing earlier this year with Dio when we were doing Gaming Mondays. Or I believe it was Video Game Mondays or Wednesdays, one of those two. But maybe that's something I can bring back again. But let me know. Find me on social media at Damien G Show on Twitter as well as Instagram. Find the show streaming on Spotify, Anchor, Stitcher, and the like. And thank you to Free Play Arcade. Thank you to Anchor.fm and Spotify. And I will catch you next time.